song we learned in Zimbabwe. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you. Again.
We worship. me tell y'all something. It's something about having a little bit of... my goodness. There is something about having a little bit of this thing we call patience that is just going to... You've all heard my patience has been tried. Yeah. Yeah, it has been on today. It has been on today. But look, let me go ahead and do this. Yeah, it is Wednesday. Ooh, we're going to try to have some wisdom on today. Wisdom Wednesday. That's right. June the 7th, I believe. Is it the 7th? Yeah, 2016. And finally, after 15 minutes of foolery, my God, Taking the Limits Off is on the air. See, that's why I know for a fact that when the serious radio people call, I won't have to deal with this foolery no more. I'm just gonna put that out there just like that. I'm just going to put it out there just like that. I am I'm your host, your boy, your host, Mr. Dana L. King, in the studio all by myself. Probably was for the best because nobody needed to be in here to witness what was being said and what was going on in this here studio. Nobody needs to see it or witness it. That's all I'm gonna say. My God, I'm gonna leave it right there. I'm just gonna say good old Blog Talk. Gonna have a good conversation. Good conversation with me when today's show is over. But anyway, today's conversation should be a good one. Today's show, we're going to be talking about 10 tips for recovering from major disappointments in life. 10 tips for recovering from major disappointments in life. That should be good. And I am actually excited about where we're going with this on today. Should be very good. Should be awesome. But look, let me give you the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you're listening, if you've already dialed in, you simply push one. You push one on your mobile device, and you can be a part of the show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial 855-381-8804, 855-381-8804. To do that. If you want to watch the show, that's right, Ustream is up and running. You can see me in the studio with my nice, y'all don't see it though, this nice lime green polo. Working it. Y'all don't see it. In the studio, you can see me live in the studio. The simulcast is up and running. You can catch me right here in the studio. Just go to Ustream.tv and do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you'll find me right there. You'll find me right there. That's good stuff, good stuff, good stuff. Also, if you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to read your email on the air. Looking forward to seeing whatever emails and or comments. Also, as part of Ustream being open, that means the chat room is open. So you can go to the chat room and Ustream, send us your comments, questions, whatever it is you may want to throw our way this morning. Just want to give you an opportunity to do that. So, again, you can do that via the chat room on Ustream, or you can email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. You can do that as well. If you want to download the podcast of the show, every show is available on podcast immediately after the show is over. Simply go to iTunes and do a search under the iTunes section, and you'll be able to find that as well. And it should be good. Yeah, should be good. Anyway, man, look, yeah, I thank you guys for your patience, and I see all y'all on the line. Man, you know, y'all are some faithful people, and the bunches of y'all I see sitting over there on your phones just listening to the music and everything else, and those of you listening via the internet who did not disconnect, because y'all have gotten used to the fact that every now and then we have some technical difficulties. And most of the time, and I can tell you this honestly, it's 9 times out of 10, it's nothing that we've done. We are slaves to the programming and software or systems that we use And when I say that, I don't even mean the stuff that it's in the studio. Nine times out of ten, you know, at one point it was Comcast. We got that fixed, and now the issue seems to be with Blog Talk. And but hey, you know what? We got it. We good. God is still good. He is still in the blessing business, and I'm just excited that we were able to get on and get this situated. So, man, just excited. So anyway, look, so I want to talk about this real quick. So you saw last night, looks like the whole election selection process is over. The whole election process is over. We have a Democratic candidate now. We have a Democratic candidate. Hillary is the presumptive. She is the presumptive Democratic nominee, which simply means that whatever happens with her, as far as going forward, is she is going to be it's going to be her and Mr. Donald Trump. It's going to be those two in it, and you know, so that's where we are. Bernie still says he's going to the convention, you know, with all these people. But at this point, you know what? Real talk. You lost fair and square, whatever you want to call it. But you lost fair and square. And now it's time for you to go home, Bern. It's time for you to go home. It's time for you to come on back home and rally the troops. Because what we don't want is for Bern to turn around and run as an independent and screw this thing up. And we end up with that fool in office, huh? Y'all don't want that. Y'all ain't ready for that. Y'all ain't ready for that at all. Y'all ain't ready for Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs to be in the office, because if that happens, all hell gonna break loose. And once again, you know, y'all already know. You can look for me. The show will be broadcasting live from Jamaica. Can somebody say Jamaica? That's right. Look at your neighbor and say Jamaica. Anyway, look here, y'all. We have a wonderful, wonderful show, and I'm excited. Look, so over the last couple of days, I didn't get to talk about this on Monday because I kind of saw it after we went off the air. And you guys know that I've been very boisterous about my opinions on Governor Rauner, that whole situation with him. With those pastors who stood with him, who said it was time for a change in the office. Those pastors who said, you know, and when I say those pastors, the ones that stand out the most, and I'll go ahead and say it, Reverend Pastor James Meeks of the House of Hope, and Pastor Corey Brooks, who stood with Governor Rauner and some others, and Dr. Willie Wilson. The failed mayoral candidate, presidential candidate, yeah, those people. But anyway, they stood behind this guy, and it's amazing to me. And I wish I could play. I don't think I can play the clip for you. I thought I had an intention to downloading and playing for you, but I'll put it into. This is what he said in an interview on Monday. Governor Rauner was talking about the Chicago public school systems. He was talking about the Chicago public school systems, and in his comment, he made a reference to the Chicago public schools. And said the Chicago public schools, the majority of them, are no more, watch this now, than crumbling prisons. Now, if you go to, I believe it's Channel 7's website, you can actually watch him in front of the podium make this exact statement. But that's what he said. It's a crumbling prison. And I said this, and I go, wow. And Father Flager put this post up earlier on yesterday. I believe it was late Monday or early yesterday morning. And he said, so I guess if our schools are are crumbling prisons, then that means that our principals and teachers, our wardens, and our students are simply convicts in the making. I'm paraphrasing what Father Flager said about Rauner's comment. This is probably not going to go well, and you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway, and this is what happens. Once again, y'all know I done told y'all about leaving me in here by myself. But I'm going to say this. These people that stood up with Governor Rauner when he was running for governor, the people that stood up with him, where are you now? Because, see, if you were as strong in your convictions, y'all help me, Holy Ghost, guide my tongue. If you were as strong in your convictions as you were when you were making those attack ads against Governor Quinn, saying it was time for Quinn to be fired and it was time for this to happen and it was time for that to happen. If you were as strong in your convictions, then please explain to me why we can't see you today. Huh? Help me understand why nobody has seen you anywhere still supporting this governor. Now we've seen you. I've seen Pastor Corey Brooks, who, by the way, let me full disclosure. I was following Pastor Brooks on Facebook for quite some time, but he is now he's blocking me on Facebook. Him don't want to be my friend. Hey, bro, real talk. I wasn't trying to be your friend. No way. I just wanted to ask you some questions. Don't get it twisted. I could give two damns about you blocking me on Facebook. What I want to hear from you is out right now in front of the camera, not in front of the camera begging to get your project built. I don't want to hear you talking about Project Hood. I don't want to hear you talking about this and that. I want to see and hear you on television, Pastor Corey Brooks, talking about why you support and do you still support this governor that has almost bankrupted this state, has caused this state to go into a complete standstill. That's what I want to ask you. I don't want to ask you out for lunch. I don't want to ask you out to smoke a cigar. I don't even want to ask you to come to your church. I just want to ask you where in the hell you at on this process. Huh? That's all I want to know. I don't need any further information other than where are you at on this process? Because last time we checked, last time I heard anything, last time I saw anything, the only time I see you, you had your fundraiser for the project, and your people were there. My question is this: where are you at now when all hell is breaking loose? Somebody help me, please. Somebody just help me understand where is he at? Does anybody know? Bueller? Anybody? Can somebody tell me something? Don't nobody know, huh? Don't nobody know. Okay. Here is where I am with this. You stood in front of millions of people in Chicago, hundreds of thousands of African Americans, saying that you believed that this current governor at the time needed to be fired, talking about Quinn, and that this businessman, this rich millionaire businessman, would be better for the state of Illinois. We are now almost 18 months in to his term, 2 years almost into his first term. And all he has done is shut down everything that poor people would need, everything that a student would need, everything that a community would need. That's all he's done. Now, you can talk out your mouth and say a bunch of other stuff, but all he's done, huh? All he's done is shut down everything. That's all he's done. He ain't done nothing else. Nothing. So I'm asking this question. Yeah. So I want to put it out there. And obviously somebody listened to this show and went back and told Pastor Corey Brooks what I said. Y'all don't have to go back and tell it. Let me help you. Run and tell this, because see, I don't know. See, I know some of y'all because I know y'all know we cool, we friends. So I know when some of y'all's phone numbers pop up on the thing. I don't always look at the phone number, but I know some of y'all. I recognize y'all's numbers when y'all call in, but it'd be a bunch of other numbers up here. And I don't know who they are when they call in, and I'm grateful that you call in and spend some time with me. I am. But see, here's my problem, Pastor Corey Brooks. You don't have to listen, because see, what you probably, whoever went back and told them what they told them, they probably didn't carry it back, as my grandmama say, they probably didn't carry it straight. Huh? They probably didn't carry it back straight the way I said it. So I'm going to put it out there like this. Don't get mad because of what they told you. You can call into the show, Pastor Corey Brooks. You ain't, you know, I know you're busy, but you can call in here. Let me help you out. Matter of fact, you know, I'm about to give you my personal phone number, but this is what you can do. You can email this show. You can email this show, Taking the Limits Off. If y'all see me on Ustream, Taking the Limits Off at Comcast.net. And if you email me to this show, Pastor, I will give you my personal phone number and we can have a conversation. But if you want to do it, you know, so the people can hear. The number is real simple, 855-381-8804. You want to call? Matter of fact, those of you who listening and going to run back and tell it, give him this number, 347-934-0546. He can call on any one of them numbers. Now, if you email the show personally, sir, I'll give you my direct line. Somebody needs, I need to see where you are about this governor Rauner, this governor that says that our schools, he equated our schools right now to crumbling prisons. See, to me, that sounds like code. That sounds like code to me. That sounds like some code to me. That's some type of bogus code where you're trying to tell me, well, you know, they ain't gonna do nothing no way, so we might as well, you know, call them what they are, prisons. Really? That's what they are? Crumbling prisons. That's what we're gonna stick with, huh? That's gonna be the story that gets told. Guess what? I ain't going. Ain't going to happen. Not today. But it was okay for Governor Rauner. Let's keep it real. You know, he was all good when he went and dropped and put $1 million in the bank on the south side of Chicago for businesses. It was all good because he made that nice deposit at the bank on the side. I ain't making it up. Google it. Read it. Go to Chicago Sun-Times, Chicago Tribune. Hell, you can go to USA Today. It's in there. Yeah, he put some money in a Southside Chicago bank that he would normally have no dealings with. You think it cost him anything to put $1 million? First of all, he's a billionaire. You think it cost him anything to put $1 million to write? Come on now, write $1 million check and put this money in the bank on the Southside. That's his money is secured. Huh? What? And that shows he's interested in what's going on in the hood. How many millions of dollars has he cost this state while he's constantly making money in the process? See, what he's done does not affect his folk, his family.
family ain't being affected in any kind of way other than their name being thrown through the mud. But the community, the state, and then watch this. He's too much of a coward. I'm going to say it. I don't care. Ain't nothing he can do to me. I ain't even worried about it, so I'm going to keep it real. He too much of a coward to tell the truth. See, here he says one thing. He says one thing when he's down, when he's in the city of Chicago. But then when he goes downstate, watch this now. When he goes downstate, he's got two different messages. Downstate, he delivers one message, one school message in Chicago, and then he delivers another message in the state. Let me read something to you that's in the Chicago, this is in Chicago Sun-Times. It says, a week after legislators left Springfield with no budget and no plan to fund education, Governor Rauner began his Monday morning in Chicago, where he likened some of Chicago public schools to crumbling prisons. Watch this now. By midday, the governor made his way to Ottawa. Y'all probably, especially those of you in Chicago, y'all don't even know where Ottawa is. But he made his way down to Ottawa, his third of three planned stops, where he again chose to pit Chicago against the rest of the state. Watch this. In Ottawa, he reminded the taxpayers to dial up their state representative and say, hey, don't give our money and help bail out them Chicago schools. Oh, that's what he said. You can watch the whole interview. You can watch the whole interview. He goes downstate and tells the people downstate to call your state rep and say, hey, we don't give a damn about them schools in Chicago. That's what he said. Now you can take it however you want it, but that's exactly what he said. Now then he goes, he is the absolute worst. And then the fact that he could turn around and make a comment and call Chicago liken, which is a word for code, like, yeah, whatever. Call Chicago schools crumbling prisons. That's that Donald Trump talk. But see, right now, because see, Trump is on TV saying what he want to say, I guess now the airwaves are open for you just to come on here and say whatever you want to say. Huh? Well, guess what? On this here radio station, where I sit, we going to say what we want to say, but guess what? The difference is it's the truth. Bruce Rauner, James T. Meeks, Pastor Corey Brooks, Dr. I can't speak any type of regular English, Willie Wilson. I need to see y'all. I need to see you somewhere. I need to see you somewhere explaining yourself. Would you still do it again? The people deserve to know, because you were on every radio station, you were on every television channel, you were in every news medium talking about how this guy was going to be good for the state of Illinois. Help me understand it now. I told y'all about leaving me in here by myself. This stuff happens, and it is what it is. Guess what? Come, don't. As the saying goes, don't help me, help the bear. Somebody explain it to me. Because this is, and people go, well, he attacking the priest. No. I'm not attacking your theology. See, you decided to delve over into politics, and politics is open for everybody. So you decide to delve over in there and jump in behind this rich man who could give a damn about you, your family, or your parishioners, and we can't find you nowhere. Can't find you nowhere. But you getting appointed. Hold on now. You getting appointed to boards. Help me understand something. Didn't he not make what position? Tanya, where you at? What position did he appoint? What's my man's name to? Pastor Meeks to after his election. Wasn't it something over education? Huh? Didn't it have something to do with education? Didn't it have something to do with education? And what's the biggest thing we crying about right now in the state of Illinois? I'm sorry, because they want to act like Chicago is not part of the state. But what's the biggest deal we got issue right now in Chicago is our school system has no funding. So what they're saying is when school ends, when your child gets out of school, June 22nd or 23rd, whatever the last day of the Chicago public school ends, and September roll around, guess what? Your kids will still be at home. Ain't no plan, though, huh? We ain't got nothing. We ain't got no budget. You ain't got no budget. We ain't got no budget. Because this governor wants to destroy unions in the process. So he won't pass a budget that ain't got something that destroys unions in it. Now, if they acquiesce to his request, then he'll sign the budget. So what you're doing is you're playing chicken. And don't get me wrong, Mike Madigan ain't no he ain't no better. But the difference is at least what Madigan is doing ain't trying to affect the working man. The dude who just gets up and works a 9-to-5 every day, or a 5-to-9 from 5 p.m. to 9 a.m. Huh? This don't make no sense. But this is where we are because of this. Now, don't get me wrong. Do I blame just Pastor Corey Brooks and Pastor James T. Meeks for their selection and who they said y'all ought to vote for? No. I blame you all who didn't get out to vote. Because, see, once again, black folk, now I'm going to get back on us. We own this. We're accountable for this. Because when you don't vote, you open the door for this mess. And I promise you this, don't go out and vote come November. You think you're crying about Chicago. You think you're crying about Chicago. Don't go vote in November and see what this fool do if he get in. And I'm talking about Donald J. Trump. Yeah, Mr. Businessman. Now, you see what the businessman doing in the state of Illinois. Now, what the businessman who been bankrupt, I think, 3 times, what he going to do with the state, with the country? Huh? What he going to do? Y'all can go ahead on with that. Y'all can keep that going. So, look, let me bring it on back down. Bring it on back down. Yeah, thank you. He is the state board of ed chairman. He's the state board of ed chairman. Oh, I don't. You said you was in the queue. I don't see you in there now. Okay. He said he was the state board of ed chairman. What in the world? Yeah, James T. Meeks, state board of ed chairman. And then y'all got the nerve to wonder why your congregations dwindled. You got the nerve to wonder why folks stop following you when you done led some folk into Lord have mercy. Come on back. All right. Let's go. So anyway. Sorry, that was on my heart, and I had to say it. Y'all just, work with me. I had to say it. It was necessary, because this is something that has been overdue. It's been absolutely overdue, and people need to say something, and it needs to be addressed, in the worst way it needs to be addressed. Anyway, all right. Okay, so now we're gonna move on. So that was that. I talked about that and everything else. Y'all know we've been doing this thing where we've been giving y'all, I'm going to try to lighten the show up, because this article is kind of deep, so I'm going to try to lighten the show up before I get into this article. So we've been doing this thing. Ms. Melton, you let me know when you're ready, when you're in the queues. You can come on and tell us what food day it is. While we're doing it, I see we just got an email to the show. Let me get this one, see if this is the thing going to open up for me sometime today.
Let me open it up over here because it don't want to open up over there. Come on. All right. So we did get email into the show. Email says, she want, ain't nobody upset me. I'm sorry. It's this state stuff. I'm sorry. It didn't upset me. It's just this stuff with this governor and these pastors that supported him that you can't find them nowhere. They ain't nowhere to be found. They was on everybody's TV channel when the time came. They was on everybody's TV channel talking about this and that, but now they ain't nowhere to be seen. Whatever. Anyway, we've been giving you guys this rundown on different food items because, you know, we like to talk about food. So I'm going to bring in our executive producer extraordinaire. She's on the line. Tanya, you want to help us out with what do you have for us today as far as national in the world of food?
Today is National Jelly-Filled Donut Day. Everyone, have a bite of a donut today.
You know what? Let me put you back in there. You're done. Done. I forgot that we asked you this on Monday. National Jelly-Filled Donut Day. You know what? I'm going to tell y'all about you jelly donut eating people. I think people who do national, who eat jelly-filled donuts, let me just move on. I ain't going. I ain't participating. You will not see me with the jelly-filled donut. I'm over it. I'm done. We've moved on. We can't. I can't go. Anyway, jelly-filled donuts. So look at y'all. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'm going to get me some water because, yeah. I need to calm down and get this together here. Look, I'm going to take a quick break, real quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. I'm going to give you a little bit more of this Adrian B. King. Man, good stuff. This some of this Adrian B. King, so amazing. Be right back, y'all.
Well, when I think of his grace and his mercy, just one word comes to mind, and that word is amazing. Company.
Thank you.
is amazing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
So
I'm telling you.
What? We are back live in the studio. Lost track of that one. I'm like, man, I didn't think that was going to cut off that quick. We are back live in the studio. And guess what? We're going to jump right into today's conversation. I was trying to get the whole Facebook Live thing up and running because this should be good. Excited about this conversation that we're about to have in this place. Should be good. So anyway, here we go. Wisdom Wednesday. Today's conversation, 10 tips for recovering from major disappointments in life. 10 tips for recovering from major disappointments in life. This is good. This should be a good conversation. You want to join in, you know what to do. 855-381-8804. 855-381-8804. I guess I want to ask this question. Before I even get started with the article, when you think about disappointments, we've all had them. But they've all been they're a part of life. And the question is, how do you respond to that disappointment? So I think that you keep that in mind as we get ready to delve into this conversation. It's how you respond to the disappointment. It's not necessarily what happened and what occurred, but the real question is how you responded. How did you handle it? So I want to jump right into that if we can. The chat rooms are open. If you want to jump in on chat, you can do that. If you want to jump in on email, you can do that. If you want to jump in on the phone lines, you can do that, 855-381-8804. If you're already listening on the line, you can jump in. But we're going to go ahead and get started with the conversation. 10 tips. For recovering from major disappointment. The writer of this particular article is Ron Edmondson. We've used him before. He writes great stuff for churchleaders.com and for some other blog posts out there over the internet. But the article says this. Let me pull this over here a little bit. There we go. He says, sometimes life throws a curve at us. Life throws curves at us that take the wins from our sails. If we aren't careful, we can allow the injury to haunt us for life, never regaining what we've lost. The writer says, have you lost a job recently? If you're not careful, you will falsely assume that you could never get as good a job again. Mm-hmm. The writer says, have you had a business failure? If you're not careful, you'll keep yourself from ever taking a ride again. The writer says, did you suffer from divorce? If you're not careful, you'll believe you can never recover or receive God's grace. He continues. He says, did your spouse have an affair? If you're not careful, you'll never risk intimate love again. So we're going to jump right into today's conversation. The writer says the devil loves when you doubt yourself. Satan loves when you doubt yourself. What steps should you take to get back on track and succeed again after major disappointments? So we're going to jump into it. Here are 10 tips. To consider during the recovery process. Number one. The writer says the first thing you should do for the recovery process is reconnect with God. He says this is always a wise idea, but it becomes a necessity at times like this. Times of disappointment can cause us to emotionally pull away from God. Our faith may still be intact, but our daily trust wavers. We may know God is able, but we have a harder time trusting him to do what he needs to be done or to do what needs to be done. Here's the deal. How many times, and especially for those of you who are, you know, there are, and this doesn't even apply to people who just go to, this doesn't apply just to church folk. It doesn't. Because even folk who don't go to church have disappointments. There are a lot of people who don't go to church who still know who God is. They still know who God is, okay? And because of that, they don't want
because of certain hurts and certain disappointments, they no longer go to a church. They don't want to be judged. They don't want to be looked at funny. Whatever those things are, they don't want those things to be. They don't want to be bogged down with people's judgment and looks and everything else. So they're probably disappointed. And a lot of what you hear people attacking the church comes from people who were once hurt in the church. Then those of us who are actually in church, we get hurt by those of us in the church. So those disappointments come from all sides. But here is the deal. Just because you get angry or because you have a setback doesn't mean you have to stay back. How many people, I have friends on Facebook who have started businesses, who have started businesses that have failed. But that didn't stop them from restarting another business. Yeah, you got knocked down. Yeah, it got ugly. Yeah, it was depressing. But then what? But then what? I mean, how long are we going to stay disconnected from God because we got mad because of what some man did or because of what some woman did or because of what some organization did? The worst thing we could do is disconnect from God in the process. Because at the end of the day, you are going to need him. He don't need us. We need him. And here's the deal. How do you expect to grow if you disconnect from the source? Don't miss this now. How are you going to grow if you disconnect from the source? You can't grow if you get so disappointed and so upset because a marriage failed, because a relationship broke up, because you lost your job, because your car got repoed, because all these things happened, and now you're just going to, so what, your car got repoed, you ain't going to never try to get another one. That's real talk. You got fired from a job, so what you're saying is you ain't going to never try to get another one. Of course not. That's not so what I'm saying is, in the process, the same God that blessed you with the talent and skill to get the job that you lost, do you not believe he is still capable of getting you another job? And watch this, probably better than the one you lost. Sometimes God would allow disappointments to come just in order to humble us so that he can prepare us for the next job, the better job, the greater job, the next relationship, the better relationship, the greater relationship. That's why he allows these things to happen. You don't believe me? Go see Job. Check it out for yourself. Let's keep going. Number two, we're talking about 10 tips for recovering from major disappointments in life. Number two, so after you reconnect with God, the writer says, evaluate your life. You see that? Evaluate your life. This is what he says. Use this time to reevaluate the decisions you have made in life and what got you in the situation you're in today. Are there changes that you need to make? If so, be willing to change. Now watch this. If you did nothing wrong in this case, then release yourself from the responsibility. My God. Can I start there? Everybody didn't do something wrong when something failed. It just failed. It was the other person. It was the circumstance. It was around. Everything wasn't on you. But we're still carrying the weight of that situation. And because you're still carrying the weight of that particular situation, that's why you can't grow. I like what the writer says. If you did nothing wrong, then release yourself from the responsibility. I've said this in my Bible study class. I've told this to people that I talk to and mentor. Stop carrying crosses that God never intended for us to carry. You walking around carrying somebody else's hurt, somebody else's pain, and somebody else's disappointment. That ain't your job. God didn't put that on you. You chose to keep carrying that mess. And then watch this. You're walking around upset and disappointed, and the other person is living his or her life. You can't sleep. They sleeping like a baby. But yet you believe, oh, well, I must have been a horrible person, or this must have happened, that must have happened. No. But then now, the beginning part of this, where he says, use this time to reevaluate the decisions that you've made. check and make sure. Let's see, what was there anything you could have done differently? And that's when you have to be truthful with yourself. See, it's easy to put on this facade for everybody else and smile and do all that. But can you be truthful to self? Can you look in the mirror and say, okay, look here. I know I screwed this up. I know this was all on me. Or I know this reason caused this. Or I know this is the reason. Maybe if I had done this differently, I could have been better at this. I could have been not so lax in this. Or I could have handled this situation better. You know, I could have been more organized on this. Or I could have been more financially responsible or fiscally responsible. Or I could have done whatever the situations are. You know, I could have been more open to conversation. Whatever they are, you need to sit back and say, was I willing? What could I do differently? That's what self-evaluation is. That's the only way you grow. Because if you don't take the time to self-evaluate, to find out who you are, where you are in your life, then guess what? You're going to keep repeating the same cycle over and over again. So evaluate where you are and find out if there are changes that you need to make. And then are you willing to make the necessary changes? It's funny. You know, when we joke about food on the show all the time, but I know I got people who just joined in. I appreciate y'all watching on Facebook, those of you watching on Ustream and listening. Make sure I ain't missing nothing. What's so interesting is we have people, when we get ready to sit down and eat our food, and you know, some of y'all, you know, which is an insult to the cook, and which is an insult to the cook, some of y'all put salt or seasoning on your food when they first bring it to the table. How do you know your food needs seasoning if you ain't tasted it? Just follow me for a second. So then you season it to taste. You make the food, you change the flavor of the food because you recognize something is missing, right? Why is that we can so easily change our food, but we won't make those same necessary changes in our lives? Why is it that we will so easily make a change? We'll change internet providers, we'll change phone companies, we'll change phones, we'll do all these things to make those things better. But when it comes time for us to make changes in our life, when we say, well, you know what, I might be a little bit overweight, but I ain't going to the gym. I'll just buy a bigger size of clothes. Huh? Okay. I mean, help me understand why is it we are willing to make all these other ancillary changes. We're willing to make all these changes in all these other areas. But when it comes down to changing self, oh, we're hesitant. And we think, well, it ain't me, it's them. Guess what? It's us. It's you. It's me. You don't get to say, because if you were doing everything well, come on now. If you were doing everything well, then 9 times out of 10, it would work out. So we recognize what your flaws are. And see, when I say flaws, I ain't talking about a pimple. I ain't talking about a gray hair. Those are not the flaws I'm talking about. Recognize your character flaws. And if you see some stuff that can be changed, make the effort to change it. Let's keep going. Again, appreciate y'all listening. Taking the Limits Off Radio. This is wonderful, wonderful. We all over the place. I see y'all commenting on Facebook. I thank you. I appreciate it. Let's keep going. Number three. 10 tips. 10 tips for recovering from major disappointments in life. Number three, create some new dreams. The writer says, don't allow past mistakes to keep you from discovering your passions in life. Keep those creative forces going in your mind so you'll be ready when the next big opportunity comes along. Give yourself permission to believe the impossible. My God. Give yourself permission to believe the impossible. So watch this. If you allow past mistakes to stop you, can we go Bible for a minute? This is a Christian radio show. Can we go Bible for a minute? You know, people in the Bible made some of the worst mistakes. And you know, we all know the story of Judas. You know, he betrayed Jesus and you know, went and sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. And then he couldn't deal with the mistake. And after he recognized it, because he knew who God was, after he recognized it, he went and killed himself. Okay, so we know about that. Judas never got a chance to redeem himself or to be forgiven, right? But let's take Peter. Y'all know Peter. Peter denied who Christ was three times. Three times, right? Mistake. These are mistakes that he made. But watch this. Peter ran away afraid and ashamed of what he did. Now, Peter could have stayed gone. My God. Yeah, I'm going to preach to myself up in here. Peter could have stayed gone, right? And never came back. But when he heard, when the disciples found Jesus had rose from the grave, Jesus, first thing he said was, go tell Peter. And Peter come running. My God. See, Peter decided he wanted to come running and see for himself. But Peter could have went somewhere and jumped off somewhere. Peter could have did exactly what Judas did. Peter could have gave up on life. Peter could have gave up on God. Peter could have gave up on everything that was going wrong in his life. Peter could have said, you know what? I screwed this up. I ain't no coming back from this. And I'm just going to go and I'm going to end this. But that's not what Peter did. That's not what he did. That's not what he did. What Peter did was, I know we got cut off on Facebook Live. Ain't nothing I can do about it, y'all. That's what they do. That's what they do. But there's nothing we can do other than go back to the source. So Peter went back to the source. And just like he publicly denied Jesus, Jesus publicly restored Peter. He said it in front of the people. He said, Peter, do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep. He asked him the second time, Peter, do you love me, feed my sheep. Then he asked him the third time. That was Jesus' way of restoring Peter back to his stature. And then it actually elevated Peter even further. We need to recognize that just because you lose some stuff, just because some things are taken away from you, that doesn't mean you have to stop dreaming. That doesn't mean you stop dreaming. What that simply means is you get your butt up off the floor. You have your cry. I'm not telling you not to cry. I ain't saying that. I'm not telling you not to cry. What I'm simply telling you is after you got done with all that crying, then you come on back and you start dreaming again. You come on back and you start dreaming again. You have to. Ain't no sense in laying around in a pity party. So what? You lost a job. So what? Your marriage failed. So what? He left you. So what? She left you. What does that mean? So now all of a sudden you just gonna roll up? You gonna roll up in the ball and die? You gonna stay in the house? What? Is that what we gonna do? Because what purpose does that serve? God. Just because something failed didn't mean God stopped you from dreaming. There are still some things that God has for you to accomplish, and you might as well do them while you have the energy. Don't be like some folk who wait till they're 50 and 60 to talk about, I have a dream. Huh? God put this stuff on your heart, then come on and do it. Come on and do it. Step into it. Step into what God has for you. But you can't do that if you stop dreaming. You can't do that if you stop dreaming. Let's keep going. Number four, we're talking about 10 tips for recovering from major disappointments in life. 10 tips for recovering from major disappointments in life. Number five, call in the advisors. Call in the advisors. The writer says, others can usually see things we cannot see. They approach our life from a different perspective. Give someone you trust and who has your best interest at heart access to the painful part of your life, oh my God, and the freedom to speak into your life. Watch this now, and make sure you don't miss this. Let me repeat what the writer said. Give someone you trust and who has your best interest at heart access to this part of your life. And then also give them the freedom to speak into your life, meaning you trust them, because you can't let everybody, trust me, I've learned this the hard way, especially being in church. You can't let everybody speak into your life. Oh, my God. Yes. Like Larry tried to say, I brought my own shout. You can't let everybody speak into your life, because guess what? Some folk don't mean you no good. Everybody doesn't have your best interest in heart. So I like what the writer says. Find some people you trust, and people that you trust can speak truthfully, meaning what they're going to say to you might hurt your feelings, but you have to recognize, watch this now, you have to recognize that what they're saying is for your good. Come on, somebody. You got to recognize that what they're saying, yes, it's going to hurt a little bit, it's going to scar you up a little bit, but it's for your good. And let those people pour into you. Because see, because what you don't need, watch this now. What you don't need is a bunch of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, girl, you should do that. Yeah, girl, you should do that. Uh-huh, man, you should go and do it. You don't need a bunch of people bobbing their head up and down telling you, yeah, that's good, or you're great, you're wonderful, it's not your fault. No, you need some people to say, you know what, you're a little arrogant. You're a little conceited. You know what? You do too much. You need to calm down. You need to get your life right. You need some people to be able to tell you the truth about yourself, and you not be offended by it. But that's why it has to be people that you trust. So you need to get around a group of people. And I say this all the time. Y'all might be tired of hearing it, but I say it all the time. Check your circle. Check the circle of people you associate yourself with. There ought to be some people, in that, not all of them, but there ought to be some people in that circle that you can look to and say, hey, am I wrong in this? Did I just screw this up? Do I need to take a second look at this? Because, see, those people will pour into you, because you know why? Because they want you to be honest when their time comes. I heard this said this morning. You know your real friends when you go broke. And I don't just mean broke financially. I just mean broke. You'll know your real friends when you become broken. Because, see, when you're broken, look and see who's around you when all hell break loose. Look and see who's around you when relationships fall apart. Hey, my God. Look and see who's around you when the job say this is your last day. Look and see who around you when your car got repo. Look and see who around you when your money a little tight. Look and see who around you then. Because watch this. Watch this now. Watch this. And please, I'm going to give you this one for free. You ain't got to send me an offering. I'm just messing with you. But I'm going to give you this one for free. If they ain't around you when you hungry, they don't need to be around you when you got a refrigerator full of food either. I'm just going to tell it just like that. Y'all can run and tell that one. If they can't be around you when you hungry, if they can't be around you when you hungry, then you sure in the hell don't want them around you when you got abundance. Because, see, the same ones who didn't have a time of day for you when you was hungry, oh, trust me, when you eating good, they going to want to eat too. Huh? Come on. My God. Yeah. Let's go. Number five. Yeah. Number five. Don't take your pain and anger out on others. Don't take your pain and anger out on others. Oh, my God, this was for me. The writer says, it doesn't make things better, usually worse, to hurt others because you are hurting. Innocent people shouldn't be subject to your wrath or your pain. My God. How many of y'all tell the truth now? You in the house by yourself. You can raise your hand. You can raise. Ain't nobody looking. Ain't nobody looking. If it's somebody in there looking, just tell them you had a moment. But how many of y'all can tell the truth that when you got mad, you took your anger out on some innocent folk? I don't hear nobody. Should have got about 5 or 6 thumbs up on that one. Should have got 5 or 6 on that. I just want, if the truth be told, when we get mad, when we get hurt, we look to go out and hurt other folk. We might not do it intentionally, but the mistake we make in our disappointment is that we want other folk. We don't want to be bothered with other folk. When we get mad, we shut down. I know that. I know this for a fact. I believe my mama probably listening to this here. I know she, but I get it from her. When you get mad, don't call me. I won't talk to you. Even if you didn't do nothing to me, I'm mad at everybody else. Don't call my phone. Huh? I don't want no company. I ain't in the mood. No, don't. Them folk ain't did. These other folk ain't did nothing to you. Come on now. But because you're angry and because you're hurt and because you're disappointed, you tend to hurt those other people who did nothing to you. You know the saying, and it's so true. Hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. Hurt people hurt people. We need to make sure that even though we're in pain, that we don't try to cause pain to other people. Watch this. This is where you're supposed to be more Christ-like. Huh? How much pain was Jesus in when he was on the cross? I'm going to stay right there. I'm going to lay this at your feet. How much pain was Jesus in when he was on the cross? How much hurt could he have done to people while he was stretched out, huh? But instead of him hurting folk, my God, instead of him hurting folk while he was stretched out, he still was trying to help some folk, huh? While he was up there on that cross, did he not help the one that was to his right and said, hey, on this day, huh, you will be with me in paradise? He could have said, hey, he could have been like how we do. Jesus could have been like us and been like, you know what, bro? I'm up here dying. The hell with you and the hell with the rest of y'all. I'm getting off this cross and I'm going back to heaven because this ain't worth it. That's what he could have did, because that's what hurt people do. They hurt people. But see, Christian folk, folk who believe in God, folk who believe in redemption, folk who believe in forgiveness, you don't get to go out and hurt people because you got hurt. Huh? The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That means you don't go out and seek vengeance. You need to let him do that. Your job is to get up off the ground after you got knocked down, dust yourself off, kick the dirt off your shoes, and get on back out there and live the life that God has preordained for you. My God. All right. I'm sweating up in here. My goodness. I need an usher and a fan. Let's keep going. Let's see. That was number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Number 6. Uh-oh. It says, take a break. You ready? That's number 6. Take a break. The writer says, don't expect to recover immediately. Don't expect to recover immediately. The writer says, your situation and the emotions and struggles because of them probably didn't start overnight and they will not end overnight. Give yourself time to heal. How many of us don't allow ourselves time to heal? How many times have you seen professional athletes put their bodies to the max after an injury, trying to get back to play for a team and then turn around and hurt themselves worse than the original injury? Your heart works the same way. When your heart is broken, don't turn around in that situation and jump right into another situation and you've never finished, you've never put any closure on the previous situation. My God, come on somebody. Help me. I'm going to preach this thing. I'm going to preach it today. My God. Look, I ain't had a chance to preach in a moment, so I'm feeling this thing. You know what I'm saying? I really can't understand, and it happens, and we're all guilty of it. We jump from one thing to the next. If a business failed, evaluate what caused the business to fail. Go back and look at your business plan. Don't say, I'm just going to restart the same business. See, that's what's wrong with the church. We got all these dead, catch myself, we got all these dead programs, and we keep running the same program over and over again, not ever going back and evaluating to see whether or not it was any success. You keep doing the same stuff over and over again, and at the end of the year, we do the same thing. Check this out, black folk. Let me talk to my people. Can I talk to y'all? Can we talk? Can we have a conversation? We do the same thing. Every year, somewhere around October through December, we put ourselves in debt, trying to get the latest Christmas this, the latest gift for this, every year. And then when it's over, come January, when Citibank come calling and American Express come calling and Discover and who them other people, whoever them people, all the, when them people, MasterCard come calling, because you done ran up all this stuff again. Did you not learn from the last? How about you take a break? How many times have you went through the process of going through some stuff to get some stuff done and then turn around and jump right back into it again? How many times have we done that? How much harm have we caused ourselves and other people? Because watch this. You go get involved with other people under the pretense that I'm all good, not knowing that I still got this 1,500-pound gorilla on my back that could break me down at any moment, really meaning I ain't no good for you or me. Yeah. But because we yearn for success, we jump right back in again. No, I'm all for if you fall off the bike, you get up and ride again, but that don't mean if you bleeding, you need to go home first, see, and put a Band-Aid on that thing. And get that thing a chance to form a scab and then start to heal. That don't mean you get back up on the bike while there's blood gushing out the side of your leg. Huh? You got to go let that thing get healed. You got to do the same thing with your heart. You got to do the same thing with your mind. Everything needs time to recover. You ever went and got a massage? Let me give you this analogy. You go get a massage. Go and, you know, go get you a full body massage. And then watch this. Make the mistake of not drinking any water and then going about the rest of your day. I promise you, you're going to pay for it. Because, see, that massage causes your body some immense strain. It puts a lot of strain on your body, even though it feels good. You're doing a lot of intense work to those muscles. They need time to recover and recuperate. I dare you to go get a full body massage and then go work out. They're going to be calling 911 for you. Your body needs time to recuperate. Your mind, after a failure, after a disappointment, your mind needs time to recuperate. Your heart needs time to recuperate. Give yourself a chance. Take a break. Guess what? It ain't going nowhere. Them same problems that you were trying to solve before you had the breakdown, guess what? Here's a little secret. They'll still be there. They will still be there when you get back. So why try to kill yourself in the process? Take a break. Come on. This is good. I hope y'all, you know what? This is feeding me. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Let's go. Let's see, that was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Number seven. When it's time, and again, we're talking about 10 tips for recovering from major disappointments in life. Number seven, when it's time, be willing to risk again. Notice what he said. When it's time, be willing to risk again. The writer says, yes, you may get hurt again. But just as life is full of disappointments, it's full of joy and discovery. Remember that everyone is not the same and every situation is different. Don't hold yourself, don't hold your past experience against others who weren't there or against the future that hasn't come. Oh, my God. Let me read that again because that just got somebody. Don't hold your past experiences against others who weren't even there or against a future that has yet to come. My God. Could you imagine if God held our past against us? Huh? But there's this thing called the blood. Hey boy, hey, y'all can't leave me here by myself. I told y'all about leaving me in the studio by myself. You have to be willing to take the risk again. Watch this. When it's time, after you healed, after you self-evaluated, after you've had some conversations with some people, after you've spoken with some advisors, after you've taken a chance to reevaluate, after you've taken a break, now you're healed. Now you got a new strategy in play. Now there's a new plan in motion. Now there is the vision is a little bit clearer this time. Now you have to be willing to take the risk again. Could you imagine what would have happened if the Wright brothers had given up? Y'all know the Wright brothers, those who made the first airplane? You know, they discovered the whole thing with flight. If the Wright brothers had given up after the first time and said, man, this is crazy. Let's just go back to building barns. Let's just leave this alone. Guess what? We still be walking and riding horses and carriages. But they didn't give up. Even with the thought of death, they didn't give up. Could you imagine what would have happened if Dr. King and all of what was going on in the civil rights had, after that first brick hit him upside the head, after the first white person spit on him, after the first dog attacked him, had he just said, you know what, this is too much, I'm going back home. I got a wife, family, I'm going back home. Could you imagine if he wasn't willing to take the risk again? Could you imagine if Jesus had said, you know, God, I ain't got to go down there and die for them people. Let's just flood the earth all over again. And this time, we're not even going to let them build an ark. We just going to flood it all over and just kill everything. And let's just start from scratch. But Jesus said, you know what? I am going to give my life. Because I know that there is some greater in those people. I believe that. That's why he did it. You have to be willing to take the risk again. You have to be willing to take the risk again. Let's go. Number eight. Again, we're talking about 10 tips for recovering from major disappointments in life. 10 tips for recovering from major disappointments in life. My God. Let's go. Ooh, thank you. I see you. You know what? You own it because I see you already changed it because you knew I wasn't going to make it. Amen. Let's go. Number eight. Don't let failure or disappointment define you. Did you get that? Don't let failure or disappointment define you. That was for somebody. Don't let failure or disappointment define you. The writer says, be defined by God's love for you and his plan for your life. Let that be your definition. Be defined by God's love for you and his plan for your life. Because, see, guess what? If we had to be defined, oh, my God, watch this. You know, back in the day, in the Old Testament, you know the story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, let me give you a little something. It's in Genesis, Cain and Abel. Cain killed his brother. And because he killed his brother, the word murderer was engraved in his forehead because that was the sin that he committed. There was a time that whatever sin you committed, that they would engrave this thing. My God. What if we had to get tattoos? My Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost, in here right now? What if we had to get tattoos of every disappointment and every failure that we had? Huh? I can only speak for me. I can't talk for the 15,000 of y'all listening on Blog Talk and the y'all listening on Facebook. Those of you listening over here on Ustream and everywhere else, and those of y'all, there's a couple of hundred of y'all on the phone over here listening. I can't talk for y'all. But watch this. If I had to get tattoos for my screw-ups, you wouldn't recognize me. And I can only talk about me. I thank God I'm not defined by my screw-ups. I thank God I'm not defined by my failure. I thank God I'm not defined by disappointments. I'm talking to somebody in here. I thank God that we're not defined by that. I thank God that I'm defined by His love for me and His plan for me. So instead of walking around carrying this disappointment from 10 and 20 years ago and 30, yes, my God, because your mama didn't want you, because your daddy didn't want you, instead of walking around carrying that mess on you, be defined by God's love for you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that you and I may have. Yeah. Whew. Don't be defined by mistakes. Don't be defined by failures. Don't be defined because you messed up, because you screwed up. We all did. And you guess what? You're probably going to screw up again. But don't let that mistake define you. Don't let that broken heart define you. Don't be Don't let your credit score. Hey, I just gave that to somebody. Don't let your credit score define you. My God. Don't do it. God, let God's love be the definition of who you are, and let His vision define who you are. Don't let these other people, guess what? Daddy gonna be disappointed. Mama gonna be disappointed. Hell, the pastor might even be disappointed. Don't let them define who you are. Be who God created you to be. Be who God predestined you to be. My God. I know we went over time on the app. Are we good? Praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you. Number nine. We're talking about, once again, 10 tips for recovering from major disappointments in life. Number nine, watch this. Simple, two words. Do something. Two words. Do something. The writer says, rest, yes, but at some point, just do something to stay busy and occupy your mind. It's true that the idle mind is the devil's workshop. If you lost your job, find somewhere to volunteer until you find another job. If you lost a relationship, come on now, watch this. Find a non-sexual relationship. You did hear that part, right? Find non-sexual relationships through church or civic activities to keep you from being alone. Watch this. If nothing else, start journaling or put in writing in a diary as to a way to release your thoughts. Do something. Do something. You know, I remember this. Y'all, those of you who've been listening to the show for a while, y'all know I put. You know, y'all know I keep. I try to be as open as possible. Sometimes too open. But I remember, you know, I posted on Facebook when my company told me they were going in a different direction. They were downsizing and we needed to do some stuff because we had lost some major contracts the previous years. And so they were like, yeah, we shutting this down and all this other stuff. And I not for one moment got upset.
I didn't for one moment sit back and say, well, now what am I going to do? I didn't get upset. I didn't shed a tear. I didn't cry. Now, I know some other folk did. I can tell you right now, my mama probably sitting there, my mama probably still sitting at home like, what is going on with this boy? But guess what? I ain't want it for nothing. Because what I did was I rested on the fact on who God is and what he's done for me and where he has put me and where he has placed me. Not one time have I thought about what could have been. I am only looking forward. As Paul said, I'm not looking at what's behind me. Hey, I'm pressing forward toward the mark of the high calling. Hey! So you have to do something. Don't just sit around in a pity party. So what, he left? So what, she left? So what, it's over? Move on. Do something. Do something. Do something. Last one, number 10, and we're going to be done. Number 10, and we're going to be done. We're going to be done. Number 10, get back in the game. Get back in the game. He says this: choose your next steps carefully and don't keep repeating the same mistakes. But at some point, it will be time to enjoy life again. Life was not meant to be lived on the sidelines. Life was not meant to be lived on the sidelines. My God. That's good stuff, y'all. That's good stuff right there. Let me say this, and we're going to be done. Everybody at some point, from however old you are, from a child up until you close your eyes on your last day, is going to have a disappointment. You can't get upset. Let me rephrase that. You can't let that disappointment hinder you from moving forward. You can't let that disappointment hinder you from being who God has called you to be. It's just like people who go to the doctor and get bad news. You don't get to stop living. You take the information that you were given, and then you just keep pushing. And you start looking for, okay, now what am I going to do with my life going forward with this time I have left? You can't sit back on that disappointment. I know people die. But you know what? I heard? This is something that came to me the other day. We had a lot of, I've been to a couple of funerals already, a few funerals this year. My best friend had to bury his sister this year. People in the church that have lost mothers. I had two members in my church that buried their mothers this year. And this is what I thought. This is what I thought. And I say this to some people who are still carrying some grief right now about their parent or their loved one dying. I say this to you. It's not that they died because they were sick, because they were old, or any of that. They died because they were finished. They died because they were finished. They died because it was time. Their job was done. Even though it may have seemed early for you, it may have seemed like you think you still should have had more time, it was finished. It was finished. And because it was finished, it was time for them to move on. That didn't mean it was time for you to sit down. You still have a life to live. And there's so much more that you have to give. It's time that you get back in the game and continue to live your life and live it in a way that is pleasing to God. Man, it's time to go. It's time to go. Look, Father God, we just thank you for this time that we've had, Lord. I bless your name. Right now, God, we just thank you for this time that you have been with me on today. God, I thank you for keeping my mind on today, God. I just thank you for doing that, God. I thank you for each and every listener who tuned in today, God. I thank you for each and every person who tuned in on the phone.
I thank you for everyone who tuned in on Facebook. I thank you for all those who tuned in on Ustream. I thank you for those who are still listening right now, God, through Blog Talk, those who got their phones up to their ears and their Bluetooth and all that. God, I thank you right now for all of them. We bless your name, God. We lift you up. We extol you, God. Now, I ask that you be with us as we go forward, God. We're going to be on these corners in Chicago today at 6 o'clock. I ask that you would bless and protect every ministry that's going to go out on the corners of the city of Chicago at 6 o'clock. I ask that you put a hedge of protection around us as we go out. You did not give us a spirit of fear. So we're not going to act like this. We're going to do it, and we're going to do it in Jesus' name. Y'all stay blessed. We out of here. Thank y'all so much for listening. Amen, amen, amen. I saw all the comments. I couldn't read them. Y'all know that phone. See, my phone way over there, and I ain't got the glasses on, so I couldn't even tell y'all what the comments say. I'll read them later. But I thank y'all for them. I thank everybody who watched on Ustream. Remember, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. BlogTalkRadio.com. See it behind me right there? BlogTalkRadio.com/TechingTheDifferenceOffRadio. Catch us on Facebook, Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Ustream, Ustream.tv. Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. We are on every Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 12 p.m. to 1:30. Sometimes we go a little over. But look, it has been my absolute pleasure to be here. Y'all stay blessed. Pastor Singleton, I do see your comment. I'm late. Yes, you are. But thank God for the replay. Y'all stay blessed. We out of here, y'all.
That's all we have tonight.
Bless the Lord.